So today's talk will be about foundations, the foundations of the world. And this is again part of my Patana series, wherein I translate the Pali term Nisaya as foundations. And as with all the previous Patana conditions, I will again try to relate this condition of foundations to the four ultimates of Buddhist philosophy, which are matter, mind, consciousness, and nirvana. So, starting with matter, perhaps one of the most straightforward ways of understanding what is meant with the term foundations is by thinking of the earth as being the foundation for all living beings on it, which I think will not require any further explanation. And maybe as a second example, we can think of the ocean being the foundation for fish and the creatures of the sea. So this is basically what is meant with the term foundation. But this is obviously only the most simple way of understanding it. So if you consider more complex phenomena, we might, for example, look at our own body. Now, there are certain things in our body or of our body which are more foundational than others. So perhaps we can say our skeleton is kind of one foundational structure, and the skin that keeps it all together, and maybe the blood and the heart that moves the blood, and maybe our digestive system. This maybe we can say are the more foundational aspects of our body. Things like our kidney, our liver, our spleen, our diaphragm, or the larger part of our brain. These are slightly less foundational to our body. So there do exist very simple organisms which basically only have a digestive tract, maybe a heart, and something akin to a skin to keep it all together, but not much more. So from that we can understand that certain aspects of our body are more foundational. So if you want to meditate and we want to know what is the best thing to start to pay attention to, apart from the breath, I didn't mention the lungs, but these may be included in the foundational structures of the body. These other parts that I mentioned are a good starting position. But then these actually too act as something like a foundation for things that kind of build up on them. So our digestive system is something like the foundation for various bacteria and digestive enzymes and so on. Our sexual organs are the foundation for sexual hormones. And various other bodily organs act as a foundation for certain chemicals in the body, which in turn act as a foundation for the mind. So if you want to understand the mind through direct experience in meditation, one good starting point is by paying attention to what is the foundation of that mind. So for example, some very primitive mind states or mental phenomena like existential fear or existential desire, these kind of have as their foundation the digestive organs, the digestive system. Then mind states as lust have as their foundation the sexual organs. While certain mind states that we usually call emotions, such as love or anger or hate, or jealousy and so on. Now, these we usually experience as some kind of energy in the heart area or surrounding the heart. So if we experience, for example, love, we often feel something like a sensation that our heart opens up. While on the other hand side, if we experience things like anger or hatred or jealousy, we often experience these as something like a contraction in the heart. So the heart, we can say, is usually experienced as something like the foundation for emotions. While moving further upwards, our capacity to pay attention to all that, our mindfulness, our awareness, and our capacity to recognize and think about what we are experiencing, now these arise in the brain. So the brain acts as a foundation for these. But this is not the only way how we can consider the mind in relation to the condition of foundations. So for instance, in previous talks, I already talked about the mental process. And there too, we have this condition of one thing acting as a foundation for the next thing. So we find that active mentation kind of starts with sense impressions. No, without sense impressions, there's nothing to think about. So this is kind of the foundation for mental processing. So once things impress themselves onto our senses, then the mind receives those impressions and then investigates them. So the receiving of the sense impression is a foundation upon which the investigation can happen. Based on that, once we investigated what is out there, we give names to the things we are perceiving. And on the foundation of words or names or designations, we can begin to think. So, and thinking is a foundation for ideas. And that is very helpful to know, because some people think they can get ideas merely from reading books or watching YouTube videos. But this is not how the mind works. Reading books, listening to talks, or watching YouTube videos, you receive impressions. So from a perspective of mental processing, first, these are just sounds in your mind. However, if you already have received many impressions of a similar kind and you have investigated those, then the new impression can help you to find a good word for what you already have investigated. Or if you already have many words, then the new impression, the new words can help you to think better or can help you to have better ideas. But this is only based on the foundation of first receiving impressions repeatedly of a similar kind, investigating these, naming these, thinking about them, then you can come up with an idea. So if you read Dhamma books, but you have no life experience, then these are just like sounds in your head. You cannot assimilate Dhamma ideas unless you have life experiences. Unless you have investigated your surroundings, unless you have given appropriate designations to the things that surround you, and unless you have started thinking about your life, your environment, the people that you're interacting with. Only on the foundation of these you can assimilate good ideas. And only when you have good ideas you can properly intend and intend in a way that modifies your life, modifies the way you look at your life and modifies your actions and your speech. And that is karma. A child just doing what it is told to do without thinking about it, we cannot really talk about karma. Karma is based on intent. and intent is based on the ideas we have. And the ideas we have are based on our thinking, and our thinking is based on the words we possess. And the words we possess are based on how we investigate the world that surrounds us. And how we investigate the world depends on what we receive through the senses. So this is what is meant by one thing builds up on the foundation of another thing in relation to the mental process. Then previously when we talked about consciousness, we usually talked about the planes of existence. And as an idea, these are represented as a layered structure in which each layer somewhat builds up on the foundation of the layers below it. So, but even though these planes of existence relate to different conditions of consciousness, they also somewhat relate to different types of material in the cosmos. And that is also something that should interest the meditator. Because apart from trying to change your mind and trying to change your consciousness in meditation, you also try to gradually refine the matter of your body and the matter of your field of perception. So understanding something of the matter of different planes of existence can actually help you to map out your progress in meditation. So for instance, as long as you hear, like when meditating, as long as you hear only normal disturbing noises of your surroundings, perhaps parallel with feeling your body in a manner that is not particularly pleasant, you can know that you are with your consciousness still in the realm of human beings. But when things become gradually more subtle and more pleasant, even if you still perceive things with your senses, you will begin to gradually ascend up the planes. So when instead of hearing the annoying noise of traffic, for example, you perhaps begin to project your hearing outward to hear with greater clarity the song of a bird, for example, that will correspond to the state of consciousness that is usually ascribed to the lower heavenly realms, which is a place where devas or angel-like beings live. But these are beings which still possess the senses. Only they perceive a kind of subtler type of world, but they still are perceptive of sounds, but only of pleasant sounds. They're still perceptive of sights, but only pleasant sights. So, and only very refined energy like things made of subtle matter. Well, as you begin to approach jhana like samadhi, you might begin to perceive yourself as something like a sphere of light or as a sphere of energy that in all sorts of interesting ways can direct and manipulate the light or the energy that begins to emit from you, that begins to emit from your center. Which is why jhana is called the fine material sphere. And even if you can ascend all the way up to arupa or immaterial jhanas, still your consciousness functions on the foundation of some sort of matter, for lack of a better word. So although there it will not be solid matter, it will be rather a kind of mental matter, perhaps of ideas or of laws or something like that. There's some kind of structure that belongs to the cosmos. While on the other hand side, if you go downwards, and for example, if you don't feel your body anymore, But instead of finding yourself in a better condition, you sort of find yourself in a confusing, unclear mist. Then your consciousness entered rather the plane of the ghost realm, which is certainly less fun than the places above, and which is something that might give you some alert signal, because perhaps that is not the region you would want to go. So this is also important to understand, that meditation is not about just indifferently accepting everything that happens. Now, if you find yourself moving in the wrong direction, then sometimes it's a better idea to just stop the meditation, especially if things begin to get worse and worse. So that much about the planes of existence as foundations for consciousness. Then we have one more paramatta to consider, which is the category of nibbana. Now, while all these planes of existence act as a foundation for consciousness of a worldly type, which even a noble person who had an experience of nibbana will still have to contend with. Still, in contrast to this, there is nibbana as a foundation for an enlightened consciousness. So when a sense sphere consciousness thinks and uses the mind, it thinks along the line of sense sphere objects. It thinks in line with the material world and always coming from the center of the body. That characterizes a sense sphere consciousness. And a similar thing applies to, for example, the fine material consciousness that I've talked about before, in that a fine material consciousness equally will think in line with the condition of the fine material world. Now, it will function differently and will think differently compared to a sense sphere consciousness. So each consciousness takes as its foundation the world and the conditions that it becomes established in. Now, for a human being or animals, we become established in the sense sphere world through birth, while other beings might become established in a particular world spontaneously. So, but once this establishment occurred, the consciousness or the being thinks in line with the condition of that particular world. In contrast to that, a being who had ever an experience of the transcendent, whoever had an experience of the unconditioned, will take as its foundation the unconditioned. Now, it might think in line with the laws and the conditions of the sense sphere world when temporarily existing in the sense sphere world for a human being, even if he already attained some stage of enlightenment. He still occasionally will take into consideration the sense sphere world. But if he has had any experience of the transcendent, any experience of nibbana, he will always take this also into account. And he will always understand that each conditioned world is impermanent and conditioned, and ultimately imperfect. So whatever situation he encounters, whether in normal life, for being in a human body, or in meditation, he will always take this into account. And that is the difference between a consciousness or a being that is established in the conditioned world and a being that has acquired a foundation in the unconditioned. And that may actually be a good note to end this talk on. So I hope I made it clear what is meant with the term foundation and how it applies to matter, mind, consciousness and nirvana, and how this understanding is relevant for meditation and for one's spiritual path. And that's it.